I'd like to take your Bibles tonight and turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter 11. Proverbs, chapter 11, as we continue this recently started series entitled Wisdom from the Word. And thank God we can glean wisdom from the Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
And now we'll be looking at Proverbs, chapter 11, and verse number 14 tonight. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse number 14. The Bible says, where no counsel is, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Let us, Reverend Father, we thank you so much for your wonderful word. We thank you that it is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Dear Lord, we are grateful for the direction and the guidance that it gives to us. Dear Lord, I pray that you would continue to illuminate our path and pray that you'd help us as we hear your word tonight, that we would take it to heart and apply it to our lives. Dear Lord, I pray that you would open up understanding and give us wisdom, dear Lord, that you have promised to make so readily available to us if we would ask you. Thank you once again for each one here tonight. May you bless in a special way, continue to meet and minister to every heart and minister to the needs. We thank you for what you're doing in the hearts and lives of your people, and we continue to rely upon you for our help and our strength, which we know comes from the Lord. Thank you once again for all that you're doing. Continue to bless. Give me the words you'll have me to say. And may they not be my words, but your words, dear Lord. And may you be honored and glorified through everything that takes place. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. In October of 1993, police sharpshooters in Rochester, New York, surrounded a car. In the back seat of the car was a man with a rifle. The police attempted to negotiate with the man. No answer. The officers watched and waited. No movement. Finally, the police discovered the truth. The armed man in the back seat was a mannequin. When the authorities tracked down the owner of the car, he told them he keeps the mannequin in his car for protection. "You've got to do this," he said. "With the carjackings, it helps if it looks like you've got a passenger." You know, people go to great lengths to ensure that they are safe. We get into vehicles, we get into airplanes, and we make sure we buckle our seatbelts. At least I hope that you do. We go outside and there's a shower of rain, we scamper for an umbrella or hat, because it would seem as if we don't, we might be at risk of catching a flu, a cold, or a virus. People try to ensure that they keep their money safe so that in the event of an unexpected disaster, they can have some security by way of their funds. We pay large sums of money monthly for insurance, whether vehicular or for our homes or even for our very lives, because we want to ensure that our families, in our absence, they are safe. However, there is an area sadly lacking, even among born-again believers, that is the focus of our text tonight, where people, with disregard for this area of life, find themselves putting themselves at risk. And it's found in Proverbs chapter 11 and verse number 14. And it's in the area of getting counsel. Getting counsel. The verse reads, a very short verse, but it gives a comparison and a contrast between two situations. And it says simply this: where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. There is an admonition here. There's some advice that's given that says there is safety in seeking counsel. This word counsel here is a synonym, another word for advice. Oftentimes, And I can safely say that I've been guilty of this. And throughout our lives, I'm sure none of us can be completely innocent, that we have gone off in a particular direction, falsely concluding that we can figure it out on our own. I submit to you tonight that so many catastrophes could have been avoided. So many setbacks, so many failures, so many disappointments could have been alleviated if individuals had simply sought counsel. I would also say this tonight, that the more critical, the more major, so to speak, a decision, the more urgent the need for counsel. Amen? And as I look back over my own life, I can safely say, for decisions that were of any significance, and decisions that ultimately ended up to be the right decision, they were made within a safety net of counsel. Whenever there was a mindset that I know it all, or I'm going to do this on my own, inevitably, it did not end up the way I would have liked. I want to preach a message tonight that I've entitled, The Safety of Counsel. The Safety of Counsel. If you're taking notes, I want you to jot down, first of all, and as we'll find in many of these Proverbs, as we look at these over the next several weeks, the writer Solomon often made a comparison and a contrast. He juxtaposed two scenarios in a very succinct way. And he did that here tonight in verse 14 in the area of counsel. So the first thing I want you to jot down is the absence of counsel. The absence of counsel. The verse begins and it says, where no counsel is. And when you read this part of the verse, you have to ask yourself, at least I did as I examined this, well, why was there no counsel? Was it that it was unavailable? Was it that they just couldn't find it? There was a famine of counsel? But oftentimes, the reason why there is an absence of counsel is simply because, first of all, there's reliance on self. It's not that counsel is not available, but there's a mindset and a mentality, man, I got this. I know what I'm doing. I mean, I have this thing figured out. I mean, I got all my plans lined up. And when this happens, this is going to take place. And after this happens, man, I got the next 10, 15 years laid out. There's an absence of counsel because there's a reliance on self. Ever been there? It's not a hard one to say amen. But when the writer here, Solomon, says where no counsel is, he was not just saying that counsel was hard to find or it was just missing. The reasons why there was no counsel. The first one I submit to you is that there is often a reliance on self. Man, I know what I'm doing. But secondly, there's an absence of counsel, not only because of a reliance on self, but there's an absence of counsel because there's a refusal to seek. You see, these two go hand in hand because when I feel that I have it and I got it together, there's no reason for me to go out there and look for it. After all, I have it figured out. But this refusal to seek is the result of that thing we call pride. It raises its ugly head. I mean, I don't want anybody to think that I don't know the answer. I mean, even when I'm getting whipped left, right, and center, I mean, I don't want anybody to know that it's hurting. Let me put on a pretend smile and act like everything is okay. There's an absence of counsel because there's a refusal to seek. Probably would have heard the story of the lion who was so proud of his mastery of the animal kingdom. And one day he decided to make sure all the other animals knew he was king of the jungle. So he was so confident that he bypassed the smaller animals and went straight to the bear. "Who is king of the jungle?" the lion asked. The bear replied, "Why, you are, of course." The lion gave a mighty roar of approval. Next he asked the tiger, "Who is the king of the jungle?" The tiger quickly responded, "Everyone knows that you are, mighty lion." Next on the list was the elephant. The lion faced the elephant and addressed the question, "Who is the king of the jungle?" The elephant immediately grabbed the lion with his trunk, whirled him around in the air 5 or 6 times, and slammed him into a tree. Then he pounded him onto the ground several times, dunked him under the water in a nearby lake, and finally dumped him out on the shore. The lion, beaten, bruised, and battered, struggled to his feet. He looked at the elephant through sad and bloody eyes and said, "Look, just because you don't know the answer is no reason for you to get mean about it. I mean, pride is just this thing that, I mean, we just don't know when to say, 'Man, I need some help. Can you give a brother a break? Can you help me out here? I'm in a rough spot.'" And this pride leads to this refusal to seek. I can't tell you how many times I've observed individuals who just are having a rough go at it and would not ask for help. There's an absence of counsel because there's a reliance on self. There's an absence of counsel because of a refusal to seek. But there's also an absence of counsel because of a rejection of the scriptures. I found throughout my Christian life that, and particularly, especially even as a pastor, that sadly, people often reject godly counsel. Somehow, it seems that it's not popular. It's not the thing that people want to hear. But I can tell you from personal experience, and may I say this before I say what I'm about to say, that oftentimes when we hear the word counsel, there's a particular image that comes in our mind that it means that I am speaking to someone one-on-one. That is a form of counsel. But tonight, as I speak and I preach the word of God here on a Wednesday night, this is counsel. So much of the counsel that I've received that has benefited me and has helped me to make the right decision has come from sitting under godly preaching. Amen. And the good thing about this kind of counsel, it is free of cost. You don't have to pay for it. And maybe because it's free, people treat it with scant regard. But let me give a word of warning. That you reject the scriptures, no amount of anti-scripture counsel is going to help you. If it goes contrary to the word of God, save your money. Amen? Because God's word will not be denied. When God says it, there is no higher court to appeal to. You see all these scenarios of courts where the judge make a decision and, I mean, even if the verdict doesn't go against you, oh, well, I'll just appeal. Why? There's a higher court who can overturn the decision. But when God makes a judgment, brethren, there is no higher court to appeal to. That's it. And so when there's a rejection of the scriptures, it's as if you're trying to appeal to a higher court when there is none. What God has said cannot be overturned. And so there is an absence of counsel because people make decisions that I will go contrary to what the Word of God has said. Solomon here says in the first part, where no counsel is, there's an absence of counsel. But this absence of counsel is followed, secondly, by awful consequences. In this first half of the verse, he gives a scenario and he gives the result. He says, where no counsel is, the people fall. The people fall. Here's some things to note about the simple phrase, the people fall. The first thing to note is that when there's an absence of counsel, when counsel is rejected, it hurts many. One of the things I wish I could really emphasize and for individuals to understand that when we, all of us, make decisions that go contrary to the Word of God, contrary to godly counsel, we're not the only ones affected. Many people are affected when godly counsel is rejected. The individuals who are hurt are not just the ones who decided not to go with what God said. Families are ruined. Children are affected. Generations yet born suffer as a result of not following or not seeking godly counsel. There's so many sad realities to be realized as a result of stubbornness. As we say in our local term, having a hard head. Just unwilling to listen. It's one of the awful consequences of rejecting counsel. When there's an absence of counsel, there are awful consequences. First of all, it hurts many. Maybe sometimes we can take solace if it were only one individual. You look at this gun violence that is plaguing our region. So many families are devastated. We're all affected. Gone are the days where we can say, oh, well, let them kill each other out there. Those who are involved in gangs, it finds itself on our doorsteps. Our lives are totally altered. There's no safe haven. It means we cannot turn a blind eye and just say, let them do what they want to do. It hurts many. But secondly, it hinders our mission. Hinders your mission. Here's something that the verse says. It says, when people fall. Anybody here likes falling? I'm talking physically. Anybody here likes falling? Falling is a very unexpected thing. I don't think anybody walks down the road or runs and all of a sudden plans that they were going to fall at a particular point. And so what it means is that when you fall, it wasn't a part of the plan. It means it wasn't a part of the program. When that person laid out all their plans and what they were going to do and all the things that were going to happen, they did not factor in falling in the equation. And so when you fall, one of the bad parts of it is that you get scars. You get bruises. You require medical attention at times. I have here a faint remnants of a scar on my wrist that I got from falling off my bicycle at 10 years old. I remember we were living in Stony Grove, not even where my dad lives now. And I remember it was the day before my birthday and I fell off my bike. And I can still see a little, faint little, I don't know if it's my imagination, but I do remember it as clear as day. And I'm like, what kind of birthday is this going to be now? But when we fall, we get scars, we get bruises. And the reason why it hinders our mission is because, first of all, when you fall, it takes time to get up. It takes time to heal. And so while it was not a part of the original program, it has to be factored in. It's unavoidable. You have to make time for it. You have to make time for healing. You have to make time for recovery. So it hinders the progress. Whatever timeline you had on your agenda being accomplished now is going to experience some unexpected delays. The awful consequences of avoiding counsel is that it hurts many. It hinders your mission. But thirdly, you harbor misgivings. What do I simply mean by that? One of the terrible consequences of not getting and seeking good counsel is that you live with regrets, guilt, wishing that I had done something different. There are times where the consequences can be so devastating, even emotionally and mentally, that attitudes are shaped for life because of a bad experience. That bad experience could have been the result of not listening, but because that experience was had, somehow it now totally shapes and reshapes that person's view on life. You harbor misgivings. I tell you, regret is one of the terrible things that plagues the mind. But thank God for the grace of God, amen? That the grace of God can help overcome guilt and regret. But I tell you, it's far better seeking counsel and making the right decisions to minimize, to reduce the guilt with which one would have to live. These are the awful consequences of an absence of counsel. But we want to look at the positive side of this verse. We've examined the awful consequences which come about as a result of the absence of counsel, but I want you to notice in the second half of the verse what happens when there is an abundance of counselors. An abundance of counselors. It says, but in the multitude of counselors. Now, I want to suggest to you tonight and submit to you that when it says the multitude of counselors, it's not talking about getting advice from any old place. Just wherever you can get it from, no. In the abundance of counselors, there is here a dependence on leaders. And when I say leaders, I'm talking about someone who is qualified to give counsel in that particular area. It's not talking here about individuals who you already know what they're going to say beforehand, so you go to them in order for them to help you feel better about a decision that you have already made. The context here is in the multitude of counselors. The word counselor here lends with it the meaning that I'm going to someone who is qualified to advise me on what I'm seeking advice on. There's a dependence on leaders. I'm talking about a leader or someone who is an expert in that particular area. You need to make a financial decision in an area where you don't have the adequate experience. Well, seek someone to help you to make that decision. I don't know if it is as prevalent here, but in the U.S., people are generally terrified of buying new cars. And when I say that, I'm talking about not that you don't like to have a new car, but the prospect of going to a car dealer is somewhat of a, can be a somewhat terrifying one because, as it were, there's an association that you can be what's called hosed. Meaning that that person can take you to the cleaners financially. You can end up paying far more for that vehicle than you need to. And somehow the car dealer, as it were, has the eye to be able to detect the person who's coming in as a novice and maybe has more money than understanding or knowledge and can charge you a markup much higher than you really need to pay. And so when you go to buy a car, go with someone who is experienced at knowing what happens behind the scenes to help you get the best deal possible. So something as simple as buying a car is not just going and seeing, oh, there's the price. It's going with somebody who understands the inner workings of how to make a deal with a car dealer at a car dealership. And so something as simple as going to buy a car, you get counsel. Amen? The principle applies to every aspect of life. There's a dependence. There should be a dependence on leaders. But there should also be a desire to listen. Why is there a multitude of counselors? It's showing that I'm getting advice from various areas because I want to get their opinion on this matter. I value what they are willing to share to me. What a contrast with the first half of the scenario when there is no counsel. There's a dependence on leaders. There's a desire to listen. But there's also a determination to learn. Oftentimes when individuals even take the step and seek counsel, what often happens is that there is a mindset prior that I want to make sure I hear exactly what I already think. And so it's not like I'm going with an open mind expecting to hear something different. No, we all like when we have a particular thought and we go to someone whose opinion we value. Man, and when they say exactly what we thought, you're like, man, I got it. Man, I got it right. But when in seeking counsel, one ought to go with an openness that, you know what, I may hear something different than what I think. This is so especially true when it comes to even relationship counseling, marriage counseling. Because as we've examined this, and which found in Proverbs as well, in two different verses, all the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. And so there has to be a mindset that I'm determined to learn. I'm determined to be willing to hear something different than what I perceive. In the multitude of counselors, there must be a dependence on leaders, a desire to listen, a determination to learn. But here as well, there must be discernment for life lessons. Discernment for life lessons. And here's what the writer Solomon was saying. And here's where the safety comes from in seeking counsel. Don't get me wrong. I'm not suggesting that when you get counsel from a variety of different sources, it means that you're obligated to take that counsel line hook and sinker, because the reality is everybody's not going to tell you the same thing. Everybody might not tell you exactly the same thing. However, the reason why there's safety is because when you get counsel from a variety of different areas, it actually even helps you to sift out what counsel was not good counsel. It helps you to build your level of discernment in making wise decisions. And I would suggest to you and submit that even when you get counsel from good sources, you would be able to decipher and to remove the good counsel from the bad, because you would recognize that the good counsel is popping up more often than the bad. And that is why it's so important to get counsel from the right place as well. But it helps you to provide safety. It helps you as you weigh all of the different options. And there have been individuals who have given me advice, and it's not an issue of sinful or not sinful, but evaluating that advice and even understanding my situation, I may have sought to go in a different direction. But that helps you discernment as you get counsel from a variety of different places to make the right decision. It helps you discern what is good, what is bad, and what might not be best for that particular situation. There's an abundance of counselors, but notice the consequence of an abundance of counselors. Finally, there is accessible calm. The verse concludes and gives the positive conclusion as a result of getting counsel and getting counsel from the right sources. There is safety. Amen? There's safety. You say, Pastor, why is there calm? Why is there safety? Well, first of all, there is access to experience. I love this benefit of getting counsel, because learning from another person and from someone who is qualified to give counsel in a particular area is as if I'm fast tracking to the right answer. Amen? I remember when I was taking piano lessons in the U.S. and I was amazed. I mean, I would leave my piano lesson and I couldn't wait to get home to get on the piano. That's how inspired I was from leaving the piano lesson. Because I would be in the piano lesson and something, maybe I worked on it all week. And from a technique standpoint, I can't figure out why I'm not playing it smoothly or why it's not working out. I'm not just not getting it played correctly. And then I get to the piano lesson and the piano teacher says one thing, gives me one nugget of advice, and boom, problem solved, just like that. And I tell you, when it comes to seeking counsel, what's happening is that you are gaining volumes and volumes and worlds of experience that all of a sudden just pinpoint the answer right there. So when we the reason why there's safety is because you have access to experience. Amen? That person's mistakes now become beneficial to you so that you can avoid the mistake, but they learn the answer and they're giving it to you. So even though you don't have the experience, you are, as it were, are accessing that experience. There's safety. But these two things go hand in hand. There's access to experience, but there's also the absence of experimenting. Because here's the problem. When you don't get counsel, here you now have to waste tons and tons of time trying to figure out, oh, I did that. No, that didn't work. Oh, let me try the next one. Oh, I did this. That didn't work. Oh, when you could have prevented that wastage of time and gotten the right answer from the get-go. Amen? It's like doing a test at school over and over and over and over and over. And the first time you got 20%, and just because you don't understand the concept and you're just struggling, the next time you go back, you try your best and you move from 20 to 25. And you try your best again and you move from 25 to 30. But at that point, you need to get a tutor and let the tutor help you fast track from 25 to 85. Amen? Oftentimes, we spin our wheels because we haven't figured out the answer and we keep doing the same thing over and over because we're experimenting with the solution when the solution is available. Amen? There's safety because there's access to experience. There's an absence of experimenting. And here's what happens when you seek counsel. It accelerates the enjoyment. It accelerates enjoyment. You enjoy the process instead of being frustrated. I keep doing this same thing over and over, and I just can't get the answer. And it helps you to achieve your endeavors. You know, so many endeavors are cut short. Why? Because that person feels like, I keep trying over and over, and I'm just not getting the right result. Did you try counsel? Did you try seeking some advice? Did you try getting the benefit of somebody else's experience that can help you overcome the struggles? As I prepared this, I thought of even our young adult class. We just we're talking about. It's amazing how God's word connects. And you can be teaching on something in a totally different area of the Bible, and it's so relevant to where we are. And I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but I'll ask the question nonetheless. How many individuals or how many people do you know in making what I would consider the second most important decision that a person can make in their entire life, of choosing a spouse, before they chose that spouse, sought counsel, even in a multitude of counselors? Forget about a multitude of counselors, even in the presence of one counselor. I tell you, when it comes to an area where everybody feels that they got it, man, I know exactly. I know. I tell you, the bigger the decision, the more urgent the need for counsel. You know why people don't seek counsel when it comes to the person who they want to marry? They don't want anybody to tell them, no, that's not the one. They don't want anybody to do dare say, I think I have some questions or some concerns about that. Or maybe you need to put on the brakes a little bit. That's because they've already made up their mind. I got it. I know exactly what I'm doing. But I tell you, so many marriages would be saved. So many lives would be averted of ruin if people got godly counsel. Amen? Young people, I say to you, even in this particular area that I just addressed, don't make such a life-changing decision and not get godly counsel. Amen? It is critical that you get advice, you get counsel. And it's better to hear something before making a decision than afterwards having to say, if I had known. It's one of those sobering things as it relates to mistakes and decisions. And I tell you, that verse, and it's not an accident that this verse that we just examined here tonight, in essence, is found twice in the book of Proverbs. And so it underscores the significance and the importance of seeking godly counsel.